Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. Good day, gentlemen. Glad you guys are here with me on this good day. So this lesson is going to be all about your emotions. One of the things that we talk about with Solid Man is the whole idea of listening to your internal resources. One of the most profound internal resources that you have going on is your emotional process. I put it in the category of your heart, that it's part of you that is moved. And so your emotions are something that moves through you. It's a really, really powerful part of you. So today I'm just going to explain and talk about a little bit of your emotions. And this is really kind of a supplement to lesson 13. The reason why I'm doing this, just to expand your own practice in how you engage with your emotions and how you talk about them and how you use them to be able to actually navigate life and become a heck of a lot stronger. And to really be able to collaborate with those of you, those people that are close to you, to be able to get what you need and want. Because most of us do not communicate very clearly. First, we really don't understand our emotional process. We don't understand what it does for us and how it guides us into greater well-being. So one of the things that I have on in the dashboard is the documents file. That's where you find the written lesson 13. And right by that, you'll see where it says emotional energy chart. And so if you want to download that and look at that while you're listening to this, go ahead and pause and go ahead and take that down. If not, I'll be able to explain through this stuff anyway. So you're going to be able to hear me just talk about what the chart looks like and the concepts on the chart. So gosh, let's go ahead and get started. First, I just want you guys to know that men are equally as emotional as women. So often the whole idea of emotions being a feminine thing is part of our language. It's something that we hear, that we've learned, and that's just bunk. Emotion is actually something that's human. I actually think it's something that, as a man of faith, I actually know, or my ideas of how we all have been made in the image of God. I actually think this is part of God's image, that He is emotional as well. And since He's emotional and we are made in His image, we also carry emotion. And you see that so much in the scriptures, all the way from wrath and rage to love and joy that God experiences. That's a pretty significant concept. So being able to know that we are emotional creatures is a really significant thing, and accepting that. So the first thing I want to do is just kind of map out the word emotion. And so if you break it down into two parts, the first part is E, and the second part is motion. So E is like E equals MC squared, if you remember that. It's a scientific symbol in that category. And in that symbol that Einstein used, E was energy. And so E in this is also energy. So think of the E is energy. And then the second part is motion. So motion is something that moves. So E, motion, is energy in motion. And it's something that moves. And so being able to know that it's energy, and you know how it is when it's energy, it's something that you feel inside of you, and it kind of moves and it rises up often. Sometimes if it's intensity or anger, you feel it just getting heat in your neck and in your face, and your face might get red and that type of thing. And so being able to know what emotion is and what emotion does, it is energy in motion. We're going to talk a little bit more how it's actual literal energy. It's just not an idea or something that kind of floats around in us. It's actual literal part of our physical being. And that's a pretty significant thing to know about. So the second part of emotion that I want you to really be aware of is emotion is always attached to your well-being. So your well-being is just about how you are, how you're doing, how you're feeling about life at any given moment. And imagine if you had a well-being-ometer, like a speedometer, and it went from 1 to 10. And so when your well-being-ometer is low, down to like, say, 2 or 2.5, that means you're not feeling really well. You might be depressed. You might not have much confidence. You might not be feeling really good about life. And so your emotion is actually a determiner on your well-being. So let's say you have certain kinds of emotions. I feel belittled, or I feel scared, or I feel alone. Those would be emotions that describe my well-being being low. If my well-being is high, let's say by 8, 8.5 or 9 or something like that, I'm excited, or I'm anticipating something, or I'm looking forward to something, or I feel connected, or I feel warm or love or joy, something like that. And those words describe emotion that really tells me and indicates my sense of well-being, either high or low or neutral. And so it's really important to always know that your emotion tells you. It's an indicator. This is how my well-being is. So whenever you check in, and checking in is absolutely the most primary competency of a solid man. So when you check in, what am I feeling? What's my well-being? What's my emotional process? How am I? What's going on with me right now? You can start using that kind of language. What's the energy level? What's my well-being? Because then, once you're able to find out your well-being, that is when you're able to actually be responsible to take care of yourself. Say what you need, do what you need, hold somebody accountable, ask for help, whatever it is. You're able to then do what you need, and then that's when your well-being increases, when you actually start doing what you need to take care of yourself, because your emotions told you, they indicated to you how your well-being was. Or if your well-being is high and you just feel like this is a great day and I feel joy and I feel confidence, then the whole thing is that, man, I just enjoy it. But my emotion is telling me how I'm doing, how my well-being is. So I hope that makes sense. So that's a really big part of this. And so this is kind of another way to look at this, especially because in lesson 13, we really talked about anger and how that's an indicator. Remember, we were talking about core emotions, flag emotions, secondary emotions, and primary emotions. And so the secondary emotion is just it's anger, intensity, it's irritation, annoyance, that's the one I was thinking of, or just being irritated. And those are secondary, means they're not the primary emotion. They're not important. All they are is indicators that something's going on. They're the light on your dashboard going whamp, whamp, whamp. Check your engine. And that's all it is. It needs to get your attention just to go check your engine. Something's going on underneath. So when you have a secondary emotion, like anger, it's telling you your well-being is low. And so the correlation there is when your well-being is low, anger is high. When your well-being is high, your anger is low. So really, this is just kind of the correlation actually tells you exactly where we're going on this whole thing today. What I'm talking about is if your well-being is high, your anger is low. So let's take care of your well-being. Let's look at your emotions, see what it's telling you about your well-being, take care of your well-being, and you won't have anger, because anger is just telling you that your well-being is not well taken care of. That's all it's telling you. It's an indicator. And that's the two types of emotions, secondary or flag emotions. If you remember in lesson 13, it was the red flag or yellow flag, the guy on the side of the road just kind of waving at you, caution, something's going on, something needs attention, let's see what it is. So that's a secondary or flag emotion. The primary emotions, let me say another thing about the secondary emotion. As a dashboard light, it's flashing, it's making noise, it's hot, and it's in your face. It's right there in your face, and it's designed to get your attention. And so think about it. The secondary emotion is hot, it's in your face, but it's not designed to run the show. If you see, if you ever let anger run the show, nothing good ever happens. So it's not designed. It doesn't have the power. All it is an indicator saying, check your heart, check your engine. So that's the secondary emotion. I know there's a couple things in there I'm forgetting. I'll come back to it if so. But what we want to do is check your engine, and deep inside your heart are your primary emotions. And your primary emotions aren't hot. They're not in your face. They're cooler. They're deeper. They're down under the surface. And that's where you want to go. It's kind of like the iceberg. The secondary emotions are above the waterline, which is what 1/10 of the ice in the iceberg is above. But deeper down, deep inside, is the cooler, deeper emotion. And they're cooler and they're deeper. They're kind of hiding. They're down in there, and you have to find them. And so it's a really, really important part of this whole thing. Let's see. Let me see if I've got the sheet here. So let me look at this. So the second kind. So let's talk about the different kinds of emotion when you're checking your engine. So we have we're looking for our primary or core emotions, and sometimes your primary emotions are very positive. I've got a couple lists here that kind of give us a good idea of what emotions you could be feeling. So let's say it's a positive emotion. Your well-being is fairly high, and it's on the upswing, and your needs are being met. So you might feel proud, confident, empowered, fulfilled, content, connected, encouraged, open, wholehearted, touched or moved, appreciative, thankful, satisfied, loved, excited, awe, understood, empathetic, anticipating, adventurous, creative, energetic, pensive or thoughtful, happy, delighted, competent, appreciated, passionate, grateful, refreshed, optimistic, hopeful, secure, powerful, curious, interested, affectionate, tender, caring, loving, peaceful, relaxed, calm, present, balanced, centered, accepted, admired, engaged, forgiven, feeling autonomous. Those could be any of them. And that's a pretty big list, but those are the positive things, positive core emotions that I might be feeling. Here's a list of somewhat neutral, where my well-being is okay, but I'm not horrible either. Could be numb, apathetic, drained, indifferent, lethargic, withdrawn, weary, antsy, hesitant, flat, bland, blah, bored, avoidant, unfocused, procrastinating, detached, awkward, stuck, reluctant, even keel, floating, sliding, apathetic, clumsy. Those are kind of the neutral ones. You can see that kind of they're not real positive, they're not super negative, but they're neutral. And then the negative ones. So this is my sense of well-being is low. My needs are not being cared for right now. So I might feel belittled, alone, I'm scared of something, pressured, rejected, unworthy, fragile, weak, lonely, heartbroken, insulted, disrespected, stressed, deflated, small, discouraged, disheartened, troubled, sad, worried, off-kilter, unwanted, hopeless, powerless, confused, disappointed, helpless, insecure, remorseful, embarrassed, guilty, defeated, afraid, frenetic, humiliated, sensitive, terrified, tense, uptight, anxious, vulnerable, contempt, abandoned, coerced, unappreciated, criticized, unloved, dismissed, not listened to, misunderstood, judged, abused, betrayed, manipulated, excluded, neglected, used, ignored, invisible, violated, cheated, intimidated, gaslighted, bullied, rejected, scorned, or put down. Now, that's a pretty big list of negative as well. And even then, these are just little lists, but I kind of compiled ones that a lot of guys feel. And so what you're going to want to do is be able to build your vocabulary. A lot of these things you may have never heard of, but building your vocabulary is an absolutely essential part of navigating your emotional process, finding out what emotions you usually have. Now, here's another concept that I use for guys, and I hope you guys enjoy this this part of the whole thing. And so, so remember I was saying how men are equally as emotional as women, but we just do emotion differently. And the metaphor for that I think we do it differently is, I think how men and women use colors is similar in difference to how men and women do emotion. And so think about how women do colors. Man, there are sometimes you hear colors and you go, what? Are you kidding me? You know, like when did you ever hear of mauve or puce? Or chartreuse or ochre. Now, maybe if you're an artist and you paint, you might know these colors. But for regular guys, it's like you've never heard of these until you started decorating with your wife and looking at wall colors and paint colors. And you're going, gosh, what's the difference between lavender and periwinkle? I have no idea how that works. There's so many colors. And think about a woman's color box. They got the big, huge box, you know, you had in grade school. They got the one that has 1,000 colors. But guys, we got the little box that has 12 colors. And so women have just 1,000,000 colors to describe something. So here, let me say this. I'm going to list a bunch of colors. Indigo, cornflower, aqua, turquoise, royal, teal, cerulean, cobalt. Now, to every guy, you don't use these words. You just say blue-ish. You know, that's bluish. And that's what all those colors are, kind of bluish. They might lean to green or they might be a little darker. You know, you might have heard royal because of the Royals. Kansas City Royals have royal blue. Or what's the blue for Penn State, which is like almost black. You know, we might know colors maybe from a sports team, but that's about it. But it's blue. All those colors are just bluish. And so it's like men don't need so many colors. And so we have a dozen. We have a dozen colors. The primary ones, which are red, blue, and yellow. The secondary ones, orange, green, and purple. And then we have white, black, and gray. And then we have brown and tan. And finally, I'll throw in pink. That's our 12 colors. And so we need those 12 colors, and then we need the suffix ish. That's blue-ish. That's purple-ish. You know, we don't need, if it's purple, is it lavender or periwinkle? We don't need to say those. It's just purplish. And so, or maybe light or dark purple, whatever, right? But that's all we need. And so as women use multiple amount of color names to express colors, they use a broad palette of words to describe emotional states. And they have no problem talking about what emotional state they're in. And this usually totally overwhelms us. Sometimes it's like drinking out of a fire hose. There's just too much. And so one way we have to be able to talk to our women is to be able to ask that she would put those words and concepts into bite-sized chunks and just kind of give you one piece at a time rather than the flood. But women are using a lot of words to be able to talk about their whole emotional state, and they use a lot of words, and that's the word loquacious, using as many words as possible to be able to say the same thing. But men, we're equally as emotional, but we use less words. We are we're laconic. That's the other word, loquacious or laconic. And the laconic means that I use the least amount of words as possible. So remember that when you're doing your emotional process. And when I'm talking about well-being, you're going to have less words, but I still want you to have a really good vocabulary. But just like colors, you need to come up with your dirty dozen emotions. Just think of a dozen emotions that you have. These words that I described earlier, those were some big lists. But the thing about it is that you only need, of all those things, to be able to come up with 10, 12, maybe 15 words that are going to keep coming up all the time. And when you get those words, then this is going to be so easy. You're going to find out, because you're just going to go back to those same words. Oh, I'm feeling belittled again. So my personal list of my dozen are belittled, shamed, incompetent, accused, not believed in, not trusted, disrespected, or not included are the negative ones. The positive ones that I have quite often: excited, playful, adventurous, and content. And so those are the ones that come up most often for me. And so now what you want to do is come up with your own dozen. And those are your colors. You don't need this massive amount of colors or of emotion. You just need to be able to say, I'm feeling content, or I feel deflated right now. That's all you need to say. That is a really, really powerful start when you identify what your primary emotion is and you're able to actually say it. That's what needs to happen. You don't need to say it with a whole bunch of words. Just right now, I feel kind of deflated, or I feel kind of playful, or I'm feeling accused or not believed in. Whatever it is, being able just to say it with just a very simple form. That's a great start, and we'll move forward from there. So now let's kind of move back to the chart. So those are the two types of emotion. Now what I have is this chart, and gosh, it seems like I always come up with an XY axis chart with four boxes. So on the right side, the two boxes are, so the boxes are conscious or unconscious. So on the left side of the two boxes are conscious. This is what I'm doing with my emotions when I'm conscious of them. The two on the right side are, this is what I do when I'm unconscious of my emotional process. The top two are active. The bottom two are passive. And so the top right is unconscious active. The bottom right is unconscious passive. So let's start with unconscious passive, because this is usually what we all do. And I have a little loop of three things that we all do. Nobody's ever taught us to do this. This is just the default that everybody seems to fall into. And the unconscious passive is stuffing it. And so we stuff it. So when our emotions happen, we push it down. We just don't even say anything. We don't say it. We don't talk about it. We don't engage with it. We just push it down. And that is stuffing it. And so most of us have been trained to do this. And so stuffing it, remember the whole thing of emotion is energy in motion? What happens is we get emotionally constipated, where it just gets packed in there. And this is how I know it's real energy, is because when you stuff it, and if you stuff a lot of your emotional process, which a lot of people do, you have physical manifestations. Things like grinding teeth or hair loss, maybe not what is that when your hair, when you're going bald anyway, but it's more of these patches of hair loss type of thing. Migraine, headaches, or other kinds of headaches. Could be muscle tightness, you know, in your shoulders or in your back. It could be acid reflux or irritable bowel syndrome or high blood pressure. Could even be heart attack. Or it could be anxiety or panic attacks as well. Because this stuff is locked into my system, I'm not dealing with it, and it comes out somehow. And I think there might be 100 other ways that it does. But we all have our manifestations. For me, it was lower back. Man, I would just have lower back problems, just that muscle tightness. And it's because I didn't deal with my emotions. And so a lot of people have this. So just, what's yours? That's a good question to ask. And so most of us are not classic stuffers where we just push it all down all the time. What happens is usually we move to a phase called stacking, where something, this is kind of a ladder, and it kind of moves up till finally it's the straw that broke the camel's back. And then we'll move to the next phase, but we stack it all. We stuff, 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 stuff. And each time we stuff, it might be like a category 1 out of 10. But when we, throughout our day, if we have 10 things that go up, all of a sudden I have this pact of 10, amount of energy of 10 rather than one, but it's a bunch of things that have stacked up. So let's say I wake up in the morning, my alarm clock doesn't go off. And so I'm getting up late and I start off, you know how when that happens and you jolt, your whole system goes, oh no, I'm late. And you start off with just that jolt of emotional energy of that negative thing. And then you jump into the car and you get to work and, oh, but wait, before you get to work, there's all this traffic. And so I'm late because usually I leave a little bit earlier so that I'm not in the rush hour. Now I'm really late and I get home, my boss gets on, or don't get home, I get to work, and my boss gets on my case, and he's like, what are you late for? You know, this can't happen. And so then he's on your case, and then so then you get into work, but then it's time for lunch, and since you didn't get up early, you weren't able to make your lunch, so now you have to go to the local Chipotle, and you get there, and there's 30 people in the line, and you're just like, oh, can't believe this. So another stack of stuff, and then finally you get through the line, you rush back to work, and guess what? You get to work late after lunch, and your boss gets on your case again. Oh, I can't believe this. So now you're up to a level 7, right? And so finally you get home, or you get off to work, you're back into the rush hour again, another stack of something, boom, there it is. Finally you get home and you walk in the house, oh, finally I'm home to my haven, and you take your shoes off, feel so good, you take your first step, and you step on a Lego. And if anybody's had little kids, you know what it feels like to step on a Lego. It kills. Man, it feels like your whole foot is just torn open. I think some people, actually, that's happened, where it has cut their foot. But so then, you're just like going, that's the last straw, and you just, and that's when you move into the next phase, is explode. So now that you've stacked all day long, finally it's got too high, and you just explode, and you let it all out. You just scream, you're pissed, it's just, and here's your little 4-year-old kid in the corner playing with his Legos, and he doesn't know what the heck's going on, but all that energy is now toward him. All that energy that you've held throughout the whole day is now thrown into the room, and your kid's like going, what's going on with my dad? What is this? Or he might think, what have I done wrong? It's a really horrible thing. And so stacking then turns to exploding, where I just let it out and I'm just fired up. And we all do this totally different ways. Some of us, we will then jump right back into stuffing it and push it right back in. Or some of us yell. Some of us will punch the wall. Some of us, we just, there's so many different things that we do. And some of us actually flood. And so we either explode or flood. Now, usually men explode, some women explode, but most women will flood. And what flooding looks like is just this, it's the drinking from a fire hose, just massive amounts of words, just a dumping of blah, 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 blah. Some people call it verbal diarrhea. That's what it feels like. It's just too much stuff. One of these days I'll talk about the whole idea of finding the gold nuggets, but not yet. But inside the flood is a gold nugget. Inside the explode is a gold nugget. We're just not doing what we need to do to be able to help ourselves out with well-being. And so then this is kind of where, this is the loop I was talking about. We stuff it, we stack it, we explode. Go back to stuffing, stacking, explode, and we just do this little loop for our whole lives, and nothing ever gets resolved. Now see, I'm talking about emotion that has to do with your well-being. And so you're not even paying attention to your well-being. You're not taking care of anything. You're not talking about anything. You're just pissed. And so then you're blaming, and you're accusing, and you're criticizing, and you're just mad. And nothing positive ever happens because we are unconscious with our emotional process and we don't do anything wise with it. That's the default mode. And I think as I describe this, you guys know what I'm talking about. Some people are more stuffers. Some people are more exploders, where it might only take 3, or I might even explode every time I get a level 1, where I'm just letting it out. Other people will hold it in, man. It's like, I am not going to talk about it. A lot of that has to do with our family of origin, whether your family of origin was okay with conflict or not. And so that's kind of how we do it. Regardless, doesn't resolve anything. Doesn't do what you want to do to increase your well-being. So that's the unconscious boxes. So let's move over to the left, the conscious box. So the conscious boxes, let's go to active. And so this is the top left of our thing. And essentially, all it is being conscious of that energy that's going on inside of you. You might be late. You might have stepped on a Lego. You might have been accused. Anything like that. What you're doing is you're being conscious of it. Oh, I'm angry. Remember I was telling you, that's a flag emotion. And so you stop and you go. And this is the stop, drop, and roll from lesson 13. I stop. Put my anger aside, my secondary red flag aside, and I drop into my heart what's going on deeply, what's down inside, which ones of those words really describes my well-being right now. And let's see, I feel belittled right now. Let's say that. So I feel belittled. That's the first thing you do to translate your emotional energy into words. That's our conscious movement, our conscious active movement. I feel belittled, might be scared, might be accused. Any one of the dirty dozen that we were talking about. Any of your words that describe that. I feel disrespected, maybe one of them. And so let's say my well-being's low because I feel disrespected or not trusted. And so that's the first thing. So these are the three collaborative sentences. And you remember them from lesson 13, if you did lesson 13. The three sentences are, I feel, I want, or need, and can you provide that? Third one's a question, not a sentence necessarily, but it's a question. So the first thing, I feel belittled. I want to feel more supported. I want to feel more gratitude. I want to feel more appreciated. Whatever the opposite of belittled is. So the hardest part of this is the I feel. Finding the word to describe what you're feeling. And oftentimes you might come up with kind of a constellation where there's one bright star where it's bigger and it's more intense. And that might be belittled. But I'm also, there might be a littler star that says, I do feel disrespected or put down or condescended or whatever. And you might have a bunch of words that describe it, but usually there's one word that kind of describes it the best. But if you want to describe it with a group of words, that's totally good as well. It's also like what a word cloud. You might have your own word cloud. Some of them are bigger and bolder, and some of them are more descriptive. But this is, as you get better at being able to describe your well-being, you're going to be able to put it to that. So your emotions come up, take it, stop. What am I feeling? What's going on deeply? That's the check-in. And then this is the collaboration where you're actually talking to someone else in your life. Let's say your wife, your girlfriend, a friend, a family member. You know, I feel accused right now. I want you to believe the best in me. I want you to understand me. Let's say I feel misunderstood. I want to feel understood. So the second one is usually the easiest because it's the opposite of what you feel. Like I feel disrespected. I want to feel respected. I feel misunderstood. I want to feel understood. I'm scared of something. I want to feel safe or secure. And so being able to say those and then ask the question, can you provide that, is a really, really profound part of this. Because once you ask, can you provide this, you're actually bringing them in and they actually have a choice. So you're not demanding anything. You're not forcing anything. They have the choice to be able to do that. And often they also have the ability to be able to say something like, I'll provide that for you if you provide this for me. And so this really a ton of collaboration where you'll actually provide something for them to increase their sense of well-being. They then can provide that for you. Your sense of well-being is lifted. Everybody's feeling better because we're navigating our emotional energy in a very wise, conscious fashion. That's really, really where we want to go with that. So this is conscious active, is being able to translate your emotion and your well-being into words, talk and collaborate with someone else about your words in the I feel this, I want this, can you provide that for me? And that's the whole, it's a super simple form of that. And so being able to say that is really important. So that's our conscious active. Now, conscious passive is really simple. It's just silence. And it's different than stuffing it, because you go through the process of identifying what you're feeling and needing internally, but you don't speak it because the person that you're actually talking to might be unsafe. Could be a very unsafe or controlling or abusive family member or friend. What kind of friend is that, right? Somebody that if you shared something vulnerable, like this is what I'm feeling, it wouldn't go anywhere. It wouldn't be safe. And so I'm not going to collaborate or be vulnerable with certain people. So I'm going to choose to be silent. It would be like you're driving down the road, some guy cuts you off, and you feel unsafe, you feel belittled, you feel intruded upon, and dang, that's what I'm feeling. I'm angry at first, but then, man, I felt really unsafe, and I felt disrespected that that person would not respect my space. That's what you're feeling deep, but you choose silence because I'm not going to chase him down. And then let's say he went into the grocery store parking lot and I go up, hey, you know what? I feel really intruded upon. You intruded on my space. You know, I need you to help me to feel a lot more safe. Can you provide that? He's probably going to, be afraid of pulling out a gun or something. No, he's going to say, screw you. I'm going to go get my pack of cigarettes, you know, whatever. So it's totally wise in that case to choose silence. That's what the conscious passive box on the bottom left is all about. Anyway, that's our emotional chart. Remember, the biggest part of this, guys, emotion is always connected to your well-being. Being able to put the words to when you feel emotional, being able to put words to what am I feeling, what's my well-being right now, and then become responsible. You are the one responsible for your well-being. And I'm outlining here that one of the best ways to be responsible for your well-being is to collaborate with the people around you, the people that you love, the people that are closest to you about what you're feeling. And the hope is that as you collaborate with them, your sense of well-being will increase. And that is a really, really powerful thing. Just in my life, I've done this a lot more. It's crazy how I feel way less angry. I am not even close to the type of angry person as I used to be, and I haven't felt the muscle tension in my back for years, probably more than a decade by now. And so I have less anger, I have higher well-being, I collaborate a lot more. My wife and I know this language. We talk about the three collaborative statements, and we use them with each other. We're more vulnerable with each other, and it has made all the world of difference for us. So guys, I hope this is helpful. Become more engaged and masterful with your sense of emotion. It is something that men do, and we need to do more often, and we need to become much better at it. So anyway, I hope this really helps, guys. And as always, stay solid, my friends.